Roll away the dawn, roll away the dawn, and let me see the land of the free. Has anything changed at home? Sweet liberty, sweet liberty is in our hands. It's part of the plan, or is it a state of mind? Never forget.
You're listening to Jackie Patru and Sweet Liberty. And now, here's your host, Jackie Patru.
Roll away the dawn, roll away the dawn, and let me see the land of the free. Has anything changed at home? Sweet liberty, sweet liberty is in our hands. It's part of the plan, or is it a state of mind? Horses and men, horses and men are on the field. They didn't yield. Many have fallen here. Never forget, never forget what they have done. The time will come when it will change again.
Yes.
Yeah, I'm supposed to be on with Jackie tonight, but I got a lot of interference on my line.
Try calling in again on, try dialing in again. Sometimes that'll clear it.
Okay.
Okay.
Can you pick the paper, please?
Roll away. Thank you.
Good evening, ladies and gentlemen. Thank you for joining us tonight on Sweet Liberty. And please forgive this late start tonight. Darren Weeks was going to be on with us, our webmaster. Darren has a broadcast that follows this one on WFAR and on the C-band satellite. And for some reason, he's not being able to get through to me. So let me say this to you. First of all, thanks for being here. And today is Monday. It is the 12th of September in the year 2005. I was planning on, Darren and I talked about this last week, and he was going to be here, and I have not prepared. I have nothing in front of me. So what we are going to do tonight is we're going to have open line, and I am going to take your calls, and I sure as heck hope that I hear from you guys, because when I tell you that I am not prepared, I mean that literally. And maybe tomorrow night, Darren will be able to be with us. I'm sorry about that. I don't know what you heard, but I heard fuzz of some type. Let me share our spiritual message with you. This is 1 John, and it is in chapter 4. And we'll begin with verse 4. Well, first, let's begin with verse 1. Beloved, believe not every spirit, but try the spirits, whether they are of God, because many false prophets are gone out into the world. That is so today, isn't it, folks? We could say false prophets. We could say controlled opposition. Call it what we want. And there is so much mis and disinformation in the world today, and it comes from such reliable sources, the dis and misinformation, that it's very confusing to people. And it's something we need to be aware of. Alan and I have talked. Alan has mentioned many times that what he calls the superstars of the shortwave.
Jackie, Darren is on with you.
Darren is on. Right. Darren, are you here?
Yes, I am.
Oh, thank you so much, honey.
I don't know why this is. Every time that we decide to do this, we seem to have this problem.
I finally
ended up having to call in on my cell phone.
Okay. Oh, well, you know, I was thinking about your cell phone. All right, let me finish our spiritual message. I'm so glad you're with us, Darren.
Thank you. It's good to be here.
So I have just done, did you hear the first verse of John 1 in chapter 4?
Beloved,
believe not every spirit, but try the spirits, whether they are of God, because many false prophets are gone out into the world. And then this is the one that I was wanting to share with you folks. We've done it before, but it's something to so think about. Keep in mind, ye are of God, little children, and have overcome them, because greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. And then if we go down to verse 7, beloved, let us love one another, for love is of God, and everyone that loves is born of God and knows God. He that loves not knows not God, for God is love. And when we use that word God, for me, the word more appropriate is creator, because there's been so many gods, haven't there, folks? So many. And here's one more I have bracketed down at verse 18. There is no fear in love, but perfect love casts out fear, because fear has torment. He that fears is not made perfect in love. And I'm sorry about that barking going on. Darren?
Yeah.
Yeah, okay. Can you hear me okay, honey?
Yeah, I can hear you fine. I don't know how to... Can you hear me all right?
Yes, and can you hear Miss Mariah? I don't know
yes,
what your
I
deal
can.
Is. Darren, let me turn this mic down, and I'm going to go see what if she is bothering her. So will you pick it up here with our listeners and
sure.
Shortwave listeners that have only heard you a few times. Just give them a little background on yourself and what you're up to, et cetera. I'll be right back.
Okay, I'll be happy to do that.
Or anything that you want to talk about, I'll be right back, honey.
Okay. I assume Jackie probably said it, but this is September 12, 2005. My name is Darren Weeks, and a little trouble with the phones. I don't know why it is. Every time that we decide to do this with Jackie, for some reason, it seems like we had trouble with the phone lines. I know that we've been getting a lot of solar flares lately. I don't know if that has anything to do, but I have two lines that come into this house, one for my broadcast equipment and one for my internet. And for some reason, my internet's fine, but the broadcast equipment one is having trouble. So, at any rate, I'm at a loss to explain it, but it's good to be here anyway. We've been studying, I've been covering, I have a broadcast on this network, First Amendment Radio, right after Jackie on Monday and Friday nights. And we've been covering the Katrina situation, and it's looking more and more, ladies and gentlemen, like it's a manipulated storm. As a matter of fact, James McCanny, who's a professor, he's a scientist, he's very familiar with this, with climatological issues. He says that undoubtedly this is a manipulated storm. And somebody listening out there might think, well, that's crazy. You know, why would somebody try to manipulate a hurricane? Why would somebody try to steer a hurricane into a disaster-prone area? Well, there's something called the Hegelian dialectic. And until you understand the fact that they create their problems, they create their crises, so that they can condition the public mind into accepting changes that they wouldn't ordinarily accept. Until you understand that concept, then you might very well wonder why somebody would do something like that. Now, there's a lot of things that come down from the United Nations, and we have a document called Agenda 21. Agenda 21 is the United Nations blueprint for sustainable development. Now, sustainability, for those of you who are not aware, the concept of sustainability, it implies that human beings are ruining the earth. We're ruining the water, we're polluting the air, we're damaging the earth's what they call fragile ecosystem, which I wonder sometimes just how fragile the ecosystem really is. We have something called the Endangered Species Act, which was put into place many years ago. And yet since the Endangered Species Act was put into place, we've never had more endangered species today, which shows that there's a manipulation process that's going on behind the scenes. So this hurricane, we have this hurricane that's been steered into the area of Louisiana. And I was hoping to be able to play you some clips tonight. There was a movie made that was put on television just a couple of months before this disaster took place, and it was called Oil Storm. I have a copy of that trailer that promotes Oil Storm, and basically they said America's lifeline has been severed. That was the tagline for the movie. This played on the FX network just 2 months prior to the, I think it came out in June, and it was aired there, and so they tell us ahead of time what they're going to do, and then they execute the plan. So they did the same thing during the September 11th crisis, which was a created crisis, and but the agenda is to get us all into sustainable communities. They also call sustainable communities eco-villages. Now, Jackie, are you back?
Yep.
Okay. Sustainable communities, eco-villages, it's basically the same thing. The idea
eco, is that like eco, like eco?
Right, right.
Okay, eco-villages?
Eco-villages.
Okay.
And of course, as you know, Jackie, all this has its roots in earth worship, you know, Gaia. And in fact, if any of your listeners have internet access, they can go to a website called Gaia.org, G-A-I-A.org, and it's the website of the Gaia Trust, and they have information background on the on their organization, and they go into some detail about the history of eco-villages, and including what is an eco-village, global eco-villages. They use Danish eco-villages as a background. There's a lot of information on this site about eco-villages, which is the same thing as sustainable communities. Now, one thing I want to point out here for your listeners, and for those who have heard my broadcast, this will be reviewed to them, but I want to give this as background because it's important to understand where all of this is coming from. Chapter 7 of Agenda 21, which was the United Nations Blueprint for Sustainable Development, Chapter 7 deals with promoting sustainable human settlement development. And in that chapter, under activities of 7.9, section 7.9, the following activities should be undertaken. Letter G of those activities says, all countries, where appropriate, should develop and implement resettlement programs that address the specific problems of displaced populations in their respective countries.
Resettlement and displaced populations.
That's the agenda.
Yeah, will you read that again, Darren?
Sure. All countries, where appropriate, should develop and implement resettlement programs that address the specific problems of displaced populations in their respective countries. Now, we have a resettlement program going on right now in the United States. We also have a resettlement program going on in the devastated area of the Asian tsunami. You'll recall that on December 26th of last year, we had a massive tsunami which took the life of, thousands of people in that area and near the Indian Ocean. And this, since that time, we've had the rebuilding process go on. When you understand that the goal, the desire, is for them to relocate people into these eco-villages, these sustainable communities, then you understand that people are not going to be very willing to give up their homes unless there's a crisis which forces them to give up their homes. So the manipulation is there to cause to wipe out these people. And my concern, Jackie, is that we're going to see a lot more of these so-called natural disasters in the future because there's still a lot more people here that they want to resettle.
Yeah, and they want them away from the water, don't they, Darren?
Absolutely.
They want them inland.
Dennis Hodges, a good friend and partner of mine, he found some excellent information. They were implementing a program called Coastal 2050 on a local level.
Coastal 2050?
Coastal 2050. I haven't done all of the research into that.
Do you think they're looking as far ahead as 2050?
I think they're looking as far ahead as at least the 100 years. Obviously, Agenda 21 is a 100-year program, and they're trying to get it implemented as quickly as possible.
And then we have to remember that in 1957, Charles Galton Darwin,
mm-hmm.
the grandson of Charles Darwin, or what was his name? Was it Charles?
I'm not sure.
Darwin, okay. Anyway, he wrote a book called The Next Million Years.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah.
Well,
and that's where they talked about the food. Well, they talked about a lot, but basically what the thing that really sets with me and holds on to me is that they are going to modify the food. And they are going to modify the body by the use of hormones. And today, you know, with the estrogen dominance syndrome, they call it, because there are 60,000 sources of xenoestrogen, man-made estrogen, coming in all the plants that we eat, and it comes in, and so well, we drink it and we breathe it and we slather it on ourselves. They know of what they're speaking, don't they, Darren?
Oh, absolutely. You know, and that's the thing. Another major part of this whole agenda. If you believe that people are screwing up the atmosphere, and I don't know how many of your listeners have actually read some of the stuff that these people have put out, but they're not very shy about talking, you know, in seething terms about how human beings are so wicked and evil and how we're damaging everything. I mean, they come right out there and say it. And so if you believe that, if you have that as one of your thought patterns, then it only stands to reason that the number of people that are on Earth has to be reduced. They talk a lot about their statement that we're overpopulated. I don't believe that the Earth is overpopulated, but...
Darren?
Yeah?
Somebody did the figures
mm-hmm.
with taking into account 6 billion people on this planet Earth.
Right.
And they used the state of Texas. And they figured, I mean, this isn't people living on top of one another in high rises, that a family of four would... there's enough land, enough open space in the state of Texas alone to hold all 6 billion people on this planet.
Right. Absolutely.
Right now, if there are.
Mm-hmm.
And they have, it isn't like, you know, you could find some wide open spaces someplace if we were that populated, but people aren't living on top of each other in high-rise apartments.
You
it's
know,
all on the earth. And you remember what you were just saying about the human beings, the way they hold human beings? I think that they differentiate, and I don't know this to be a fact, but it's something, you know, we could take a maybe further look at,
right.
Mankind and human beings. I think they differentiate.
So in other words, we're the rabble.
Yeah.
And they're mankind and we're human beings?
I don't know.
Okay.
But I've...
Well, it's very interesting. They look at us like another animal, like any
yeah.
other animal that is to be managed. And,
well,
and
in the Biodiversity Treaty, and I could not quote or state exactly where it is, but I have the papers here in my files
mm-hmm.
that man is no more important than the lowest amoeba. In other words, we are an organism, Darren. And so we don't count in the whole scheme of things.
Right. Absolutely. They want enough of us around to be little servants.
Yes.
To serve them, and the rest of us have to go.
Yes.
Because we're too big of an impact. And that's another thing about everything that comes from the United Nations is the leveling of the playing field between the developing countries and the developed countries, like the U.S. We're being spent broke, supporting other countries, building up their infrastructure to combat their poverty, to build their capacity, to use their language. And it's for a purpose. It's worldwide socialism, and these buffer
okay.
zones are being... Yeah, go ahead.
I got you off the track when you were talking about Dennis finding something on the internet, Coastal 2050, and
yeah, cool.
we were talking about the water. I didn't mean to take us off the track, and I know I have a habit of doing that.
Right.
But that is part of the plan. You can see it with, you know, all of the laws, the rules, the regulations, FEMA insurance. If you, you know, if you're in a flood, because you can only get flood insurance through FEMA. They call it national flood insurance, but it is through FEMA. And we've already been told by Julia in Baton Rouge that she has a friend who's been told this. She is not going to rebuild where she lived before. So
right.
they won't cover the insurance on your home. If you are in an area that is flooded, forget it. You're never going back there. And that's what one of her friends were told, that you will never go back there under no
right.
conditions. Even if you had your own money, You cannot, on your own land, you cannot rebuild.
Well, Bruce Babbitt, what is he, a Secretary of the Interior or something like that?
Yeah, he
was.
Yes, he was.
He published a piece, I guess it was in the New York Times.
I'm having trouble hearing you.
Okay.
I know. Oh, that's wonderful.
He published a piece in the New York Times talking about making New Orleans an island. And I have that in front of me right now. He says, after the victims are interred and public officials held to account for the destruction of a great city, Congress must determine what to rebuild and what to abandon to the encroaching waters of the Gulf of Mexico. New Orleans will survive only as an island surrounded by miles of open water. It will take a national effort led by our best scientists, engineers, and city planners to achieve even this reduced vision of an American Venice. We must take the time to redesign the city to function as an island with an island infrastructure, including relocated streets, highways, and utilities. The island will need higher, stronger seawalls and levees sufficient to withstand new threats, including the rising sea levels and bigger hurricanes spawned in warming Atlantic waters.
Wow.
So it looks to me like they're going to have a lot of this underwater. And
Darren.
Yeah.
Do you have a source for what you're reading right now?
Yes, that's from the New York Times.
Are you going to put that?
September 10th.
Are you New York Times December 10th? Can you email that to me?
Sure.
Okay. Oh my God.
Yeah. So
September 10th.
See, the point
what?
Here is that none of this would be possible if it wasn't for the created crisis. And I say that dogmatically because there's not a doubt in my mind that this was a manipulated storm.
Well, it was reduced to a Category 3 by the time it reached New Orleans. Are you aware of that, Darren?
Well, I know it dropped to a Category 4 just before it hit.
Okay, well,
I read
a Category 3.
Uh-huh.
So between a 3 and a 4, the storm itself did not do that much damage. The damage was done by the levees. What they said broke. And I have not found confirmation. I don't have a doubt in my mind that those levees were exploded in the perfect areas where they wanted the flooding to happen.
Uh-huh.
And the French Quarter is high and dry. And, you know, their Southern Decadence celebration that they were going to have.
Uh-huh.
I have an article on that. I've got a bunch of stuff ready to send you. And just,
okay.
You know, I keep reformatting it, getting it all ready, and then getting something else and not sending anything. But the article was about the Southern Decadence. It's a homosexual big parade where, you know, evidently, I mean, they're nude in the streets and sex in the streets and et cetera. And
wow.
Because of the disaster, there were 12 people the first day. And they said they were from the French Quarter, a mainly homosexual community. And the French Quarter survived the whole thing well. We'll be back. We have to take a short break here, folks. And please remember, this broadcast is brought to you by you. We'll be back with Darren Reed.
Years ahead of the dominant media, find out first on FirstAmendmentRadio.com, on satellite, Galaxy 13, Channel 16, Audio 7.70.
Roll away the dawn.
You have been listening to Jackie Petrou's Sweet Liberty program on the First Amendment Radio Network. This broadcast is also archived and audio streamed on the Internet at FirstAmendmentRadio.com. Sweet Liberty is a fully listener-sponsored program. Your donations to support these broadcasts are a necessity. Send your check or blank money order to Jackie Petrou, P.O. Box 190, Millerton, P.A. 16936. Again, send your check or blank money order to Jackie Petru, P.O. Box 190, Millerton, PA 16936. Be sure to visit the sweetliberty.org website. Thank you for your continued support. And stay tuned to FirstAmendmentRadio.com.
Zach, I wanted to say this. I was told by one of our listeners, shortwave listeners, and maybe this only happened to his radio, but he said that last week, about a quarter after the hour, when I was talking to you about the fact that we're $10,000 behind in our airtime bill, and I did a commercial for Sweet Liberty, for those of you who really don't get it, that we're about to hang it up. But he said that when he was listening, that as soon as I started talking about it, nothing. He had total blank in his shortwave. And then when I finished talking about it, I was back on the air again. I didn't hear that from anybody else. But folks, let me tell you that I feel like I'm hanging myself in a sense, because I keep staying on the air and we keep getting behind her. And as I've told you, the bill is ultimately mine. It almost feels like I'm being given the rope until there's just enough. And if I don't close it up myself, we're going to be closed up. It has been also told to me, and I didn't hear this for myself, that another broadcaster made an announcement on his broadcast that he wants the 9 p.m. slot. And this broadcaster is 24/7 on satellite. He's, I don't know how many hours a week on the shortwave. And I would like you to think about this. When you've got somebody who's out there like that, you have to wonder, where's the money coming from? And what is the hook in the message that you're being given? And if we have to go off, then that's it for this broadcast. And maybe it's it for a broadcast that does not pull punches and does not have an agenda. I have no agenda, not a personal agenda, if you would. I make nothing from it, never have. It has cost us everything, you know, the equipment and the long distance time, and I don't sell stuff. I don't have time to do that because I've got about 12 hats that I'm wearing here by myself. And I've always believed that as long as this broadcast is supposed to continue, it will. But, folks, it's going to be up to you because it's getting desperate. And I don't want to use up a 1 hour of this broadcast, $140 of your hard-earned money, doing a pledge night. And when we do that, it seems to work. So what I'm suggesting is maybe you could pretend that we're having a pledge night tonight, and we have to raise a lot to get us back within at least manageable limit here, or I'm going to have to fold it up. And so I hope all of you heard that. In case you didn't hear, I don't think I said exactly that last week, but that's the way it is. And honestly, I wonder, why do I keep doing this? Why don't I shut it off? Chuck would be he would be beside himself right now. Well, he probably is, but I don't know why. But the time might come that we'll just have to say, okay, this is our last broadcast. And then you have to decide if you want to listen to all the commercials and all the hype and all of the, I don't know, whatever that you're getting when you listen. Not all the broadcasts. I won't say that, of course. We're talking to Darren Weeks right now. Darren is on Monday and Friday. and he's on internet and C-band satellite only, this message really is for our shortwave listeners. But if we go off, we're off. I'm not going to be doing an internet broadcast. So there we are. And let me give you my address once again, just in case you didn't take it down. It is Jackie Patru, P-A-T-R-U, P.O. Box 190, Millerton, M-I-L-L-E-R-T-O-N, Pennsylvania, 16936. And let's see, we're on WFAR, broadcasting from WFAR. And WFAR broadcasts it on the internet and satellite, and shortwave picks it up. And we haven't paid WFAR, it's at least a year, maybe better. I don't know, time goes so fast. And Nicholas Arthur, the owner of WFAR, has kept this broadcast going, knowing that everything that comes in from you goes to WWCR. And I want to publicly thank Nicholas for his commitment to this broadcast, whatever, to what he's bringing to you folks. Okay, Darren, thank you, honey.
Yeah, and I want to second that as well. Nicholas is a good guy, and he's doing a great job, and, you know, he needs to be supported as well. And,
well, you know what? I didn't hear the commercial at the half break, but ladies and gentlemen, for those of you who want copies of this broadcast or any of the broadcasts on WFAR, I forget what it is to get all of them, but if you wanted, let's say, a month's worth of the Sweet Liberty broadcasts, you can get it from WFAR for $25 on a CD. And I think just about everybody has a CD player today. I got one for Christmas for my children, or I probably wouldn't, but it's a wonderful, inexpensive way to get quality reproductions of the broadcast. And I don't remember what, maybe if Nicholas is listening, I know the number is 559-781, but I'm not sure of the last four digits. If you're interested,
I think I can help you out. You're talking about the call-in number?
No, I'm talking about
the network
for to get tapes of the broadcast, Darren.
Yeah, it's the same thing as the call-in number. It's 559-781-3773.
Oh, thank you. I had a listener write to me and say, I wish that you had a list of all your broadcasts, and I wish I could have copies of all of them. Well, I couldn't do them a month's worth for $25. So, folks, a CD player is very inexpensive. And let me give you the number again. If you want to have a library of the broadcasts that we've done, it's 559-781-3773. Thank you, Darren.
And you're welcome.
Darren?
Yes.
You and I, we're going to do the next hour together?
Yes.
For our internet and satellite listeners, there's a thought that I've had in my mind, and it just keeps rolling through my mind, and I didn't want to wait till we're just on the internet to talk about this.
Uh-huh.
It looks bleak. You know, this world looks extremely bleak, and there are, I think that there are people who are becoming afraid. You know, are we going to be able to make it? Are we going to live? Are they going to nuke us? This is what the controllers want. They want us to live in fear. They want us to live in gloom and doom. They want us to live in morbidity. It's also morbid.
Mm-hmm.
And the thought that, and I had a conversation with one of our listeners, a friend listener, and he said, well, anybody that's awake, all of us who are awake, will make it through because, you know, we have to be here to pick up the pieces. And I didn't agree with that. I'm not. I mean, of course, this is speculation, but it's here's what I've been thinking for people who are told, you know, you have to get out of the cities. If you can, oh my God, you should get out of the cities. But if you can't, you should not live in the cities in fear. Because what I realize is that I know that each of us are here for purpose. And, I mean, besides our own learning and growing and into spiritual awareness, consciousness, a purpose for mankind, for our brothers and sisters. And each of us, I know, have our own purpose, and for the most part, we don't always know for sure if we're fulfilling our purpose. But what I thought about Darren, when he said, well, those of us who are awake, I said, you know, we don't know that. Maybe our work is done, and it's time for us to leave this third dimension, the physical world. And I used an example, and I won't say who I used, somebody dear to my heart that knows this and doesn't deny it, but doesn't grasp it. Because he would rather believe that, you know, there's a quality of life out there.
Uh-huh.
I don't care if you live in a city that's nuked. If you're meant to be here, you're gonna be here. And it may be some of the most unlikely people that we would ever suspect. And, you know, it doesn't matter if they come through the city, you know, with their Pulitzer guns or whatever. If we're supposed to be here, we will be able to escape from the eye of Big Brother. And somewhere, we will meet up with others. And the resistance that, if resistance we call it, I don't like to use that word because it's like a fight, but those who are here, if everything comes to pass that is being spoken, and they're going to kill off 4 billion people, they're going to destroy America, in the very end, whoever's here is here for a purpose, just like you and I are tonight, Darren.
Uh-huh.
Does that make sense, what I'm saying, honey?
Oh, absolutely. I've always believed that that this is my purpose. Ever since that I've awakened to all of these issues, I believe it's my job, my calling, to help awaken my sleeping brethren in this country.
Yeah.
You know, there's a burden associated with knowing the truth. And that burden is that we have to bear the reality, which is an entirely different reality than everyone else around us. And when we try to share this information with others, a lot of times, you know, they look at us like we're nuts.
Yes.
And that's why I think documentation is so important. That's
yes.
why the websites are so important, because,
yes.
I mean, you can go right to the source today. I mean, it's since the Internet, it's never been easier, because they say everything right there in plain view. It's all hidden in plain view, and all you have to do is know where to go to find it.
And if we're discriminating in what we read and believe, because I don't know about you, Darren, I get an average of 200 emails a day, and these aren't personal emails. Some of them are, and I try to answer all of those, but I'm talking information, articles, writings that people do. The disinformation, I would have to say that at least 95% of the emails that I get in, I wind up deleting.
That's same here.
Yeah, because there's so much.
They're so good at keeping the population's thoughts captive to their dialectic. And most of the information, I mean, it's very difficult. You have to work at not falling into to the many mind control traps that they set for you, because they want you to think a certain thing, because it you know, there's got to be dissension. There's got to be a contest of ideas going on constantly. And
They have to have opposition.
Because you get lost in this debate that goes back and forth and not be focused upon what you really have to focus on. So thinking outside of their box, you know, is a challenge that every one of us have to learn how to think.
And I've spoken to so many of our listeners that then I think, well, they don't listen all the time, or they're not really listening, because they'll mention, you know, a particular shortwave broadcast. Oh, I know, but God, they give out so much great information. And what they don't realize and just don't seem to get, that when the hooks are there, the hooks are the most important. And if you don't know everything, you don't always know what the hooks are. So what you have to do is use your own common sense and say, well, wait a minute now.
To analyze everything.
Analyze everything. It was like that Broussard guy,
mm-hmm.
The president of the Jefferson Parish.
Right. He's the one that
Aaron
FEMA cut the lines of communication, wasn't he?
Pardon, honey?
Wasn't he the one that made the allegation that FEMA cut the lines of communication?
Oh, yeah, but not before that, and this was on Meet the Press. He was sitting there literally saying that FEMA needs more power, needs more money, needs autonomy, needs to be able to come in an emergency like this without any red tape, any bureaucracy, and just take control. Well, right now, they have declared martial law in that area, and they're collecting the guns. They're
That's
going
right.
house to house. It's all military. So that was his first message.
Well, not only that, but just to interrupt you here real quickly, and folks, if there's ever a time to get active, it's now, because we're being invaded. I mean, we literally have foreign troops on U.S. soil right now pointing their machine guns at Americans down in New Orleans.
Yes.
And people are just going on like this is no big deal.
They have been relocated. They are in confinement. What do they call them? Not concentration. What do they call them? The camps that they're... Well, they're taking them to prisons. They're taking them to military camps. And I can tell you this from a conversation that I had with a friend in Missouri. She was she's a courier, and this was on Friday. She was there's a outside of St. Louis, St. Charles is west of St. Louis, and in between St. Charles and St. Louis is an area they call Gumbo Flats. We used to go out there and get our pumpkins, you know, for the hallowed evening. But anyway, there's a prison out there, and she was given an assignment Friday to go out there and make a delivery. She said, I thought that prison was closed. They said, yes, it is. She said, then why am I making a delivery out here? Well, because they're bringing in 500 refugees from Louisiana. So she went out there. She has friends out there, so she's out there quite often. She's very familiar with the prison there. She said there was a fence around it, but now the fence is barbed wire, and it's rolled in. And when she got there, she had to show papers as to why she was there. She said it was all military. They were all military personnel walking around with their rifles. And she got to chatting with some people. She wanted to know if these refugees were going to be able to leave the camp, the prison. And they said no. And hold it a second, please, caller.
Okay.
They said no, that they would not be able to, and then she was told that they were going to find jobs for these 500 refugees. She said, you know, the jobless people in that area are just incredible, but she got to wondering how, if they can't leave the camp, she said, they're prisoners. Well, then how are they going to get a job, and if they have no car, how are they going to get to it? And I was talking to Alan about this. He said they're probably going to put the people on public work camps.
Mm-hmm.
Slave labor, Darren.
Right.
And this
Absolutely.
Is a very, very close. I mean, this I know that who I was talking to was telling me the truth. We have a call here. Hi, you're on the air.
Hi, Jackie. How you doing?
Is this Noel?
Can you hear me? So I'm from New Orleans.
I can hear you, darling.
Okay. I just wanted to tell you, I was hoping to talk to Alan because last week we were talking about Aaron Bruce. So I just got in. I'm a truck driver. I dropped a couple loads in Jefferson Parish at a couple of big corporate companies, too. And I just got in. I didn't even hear what show. I heard you mention Aaron Bruce and talking about these camps. If you'd like that, call back again and talk about Broussard.
No, you please, because Aaron Broussard, okay, I did that last Wednesday. I talked about it last Wednesday. The
right.
Man is a hook, and that story he told, you know, Noel, he said, because I listened to it again, he said, the building that I'm sitting in, the FEMA building, he said, the man that is in charge of this entire operation. And then he referred to the man's mama that was in, you know, the nursing home. And she kept calling and saying, son, come and get me. And, yeah, mama, they're going to come and get you. When he said, this is the man that's in charge of the entire operation, I can't think of anybody besides Mike Brown. But
right.
The point is, you know, the woman kept calling and finally, mama, they're going to come and get you Tuesday. They're going to come Wednesday and Friday. And then the man bursts out crying and says she didn't call Friday because she drowned. You know, somebody said, well, maybe she dehydrated to death. I said, the man said she drowned. She drowned on Friday. Why didn't she drown on Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday? The water was receding. And if you are the head of that operation, you are getting a flatboat, and you are going to go get your mama. And the guy was a hook, wasn't he, Noel?
Right. Well, I'll tell you one thing. I mean, it's analytical, and your point is excellent. I don't think Alan agreed with you.
Well, no, he said it was
He didn't want you to make your point, I don't think. But anyway, it was, you know, if you're going to be ahead of a big organization, you're going to get your mother right away.
Yeah.
I don't know if you know, that's the point. I see the point you're trying to make.
Okay, so tell us about Aaron Broussard.
Well, Aaron Broussard, he was mayor of Kenner. He was, I mean, this had to be around 1990. In fact, back then I was out of work.
He was mayor of what?
Kenner, K-E-N-N-E-R, Louisiana.
Okay, Kenner, okay.
Yeah, the city. Like Kenner Toy.
Okay.
I don't know if my phone's cutting it out.
Okay.
But anyway, I got pictures of when Winnie Mandela came to the city of New Orleans on the same day. Winnie Mandela, Nelson Mandela's wife,
the communist. Okay.
And
Oh no, you're cutting out. I think we've lost him.
Well, hey, Jackie.
Yeah.
If I may,
go.
Before we get off the air, I wanted to share this with your shortwave listeners.
Yes.
There's a report. We were talking about sustainable development and creating the opportunity to relocate people. And I just wanted to share this brief excerpt from this report, Sustainable Development and Natural Hazards Mitigation.
Go
this
ahead, Darren. Hold on, Noel.
This is something that I discovered on the North Carolina website. It's for the government of the state of North Carolina. And they talk about how the United States is living beyond its means, how people are terrible, destroying everything. But on page 19, I think it's very telling what they say. They say, despite the wide array of tools and techniques that are available to governments to operationalize the principles of sustainability and mitigation, one of the roadblocks to implementation is the fact that much of the land within local jurisdictions has already been developed according to practices and traditions that are far from sustainable. Ironically, the time immediately following a natural disaster provides a community with a unique window of opportunity for inserting an ethic of sustainability and guiding development and redevelopment in high-risk areas. With forethought and planning, communities that are rebuilt in the aftermath of a natural hazard can be built back so that they are more resilient to future hazards,
breaking the pattern of repeated hazard destruction rebuilding. At the same time, the community is given the opportunity to incorporate other attributes of sustainability into its second chance development, such as energy efficiency, affordable housing, use of recycled building materials, reduction of water use, and environmental protection.
Reduction of water use. That's on our website, right?
I don't believe so.
Okay, well...
We'll put it there.
Thank you, Darren. Folks at sweetliberty.org, go into the section titled... Well, Darren's got it right on the front page. Was Katrina a...
It's at weather.sweetliberty.org.
Weather.
You don't need the www. Just put weather.sweetliberty.org.
Weather.sweetliberty.org. And it'll take you there, and there's plenty of information. Noel's back, and let's see what he has to say, Darren.
Okay.
Go ahead, Noel.
Okay, I just wanted to say, I'll make it quick. My battery's going low out of all things. But Aaron Broussard gave a key of the city to Winnie Mandela. And when he was mayor of Kenna, he's always been somewhat liberal. You can see all his, they used to have Clinton, you go to, down to the courthouse, all his people would have Clinton's kid, because this was years later.
Okay.
But he actually gave a key to Winnie Mandela.
Yeah.
I didn't get pictures of that. I sure wish I would have. But
well, it's okay. It's okay, because we pretty much know the guy's a hook, don't we, Noel?
Well, I'll tell you what, your analytical mind, you could tell what's his name, Alan, you could tell him that you better start listening to you, because you really,
okay.
You have a feel for it, you make a lot of sense.
Thank you, Noel.
Thank you. Bye-bye.
Thank you. Bye-bye. Folks, we're out of time here, and if you're on the Internet, Darren, of course, is following right behind this, and I'm following right behind it with Darren, so stay tuned. Darren, thanks so much.
Oh, my pleasure.
We need to do this together more often.
Absolutely.
Really. Okay, we'll be back, folks, tomorrow night for our shortwave listeners and for Internet listeners, satellites. Stay tuned. Darren, I'll be back.
Okay.
You have been listening to Jackie Petrou's Sweet Liberty program on the First Amendment Radio Network. This broadcast is also archived and audio streamed on the Internet at firstamendmentradio.com. Sweet Liberty is a fully listener-sponsored program. Your donations to support these broadcasts are a necessity. Send your check or blank money order to Jackie Petrou, P.O. Box 190, Millerton, P.A. 16936. Again, send your check or blank money order to Jackie Petrou, P.O. Box 190, Millerton, P.A. 16936. Be sure to visit the sweetliberty.org website. Thank you for your continued support. And stay tuned to firstamendmentradio.com.
The opinions expressed are those of the hosts and guests and are not necessarily those of the First Amendment Radio Network or its affiliated radio stations.
Gold and silver is tremendously undervalued. Global